right. Yeah, you can clap. That's fine. Everybody good this morning? All right. Last week we had a special morning, Country's baptism. I want y'all to pray for Country. Hello. Y'all hear me now? Y'all pray for Country not feeling well from what I hear today. But man, what a beautiful week last week it was to share in baptism. We're going to pick up from where we left off last week, Psalm 24 into Psalm 25. I just want to read that and we'll get into that together this morning. Psalm 25, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. Who wants to be remembered by God's steadfast love and not your transgressions, not your sins? Amen. I'm in that. Remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Anyone feel like their guilt is great this morning? Maybe you even think about that when you hear words like that and a list comes into your mind of the things that you've done, the things you haven't done, the things that you should have done that you haven't, the things that you've done that maybe you shouldn't, even maybe from last night. Say, man, my guilt is great, but for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon this guilt. He continues on in verse 12. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me, be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Maybe today there are lonely and afflicted hearts in our midst. He says, turn to me, be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble. Forgive all of my sins. Consider how many foes and what violent hatred they hate me. Oh, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for in you I take refuge. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all of his troubles. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you. We believe in this place that each and every time we open your word, that it is God-breathed and necessary and suitable for all kind of things in our life. We believe that wherever we're at today, if we feel like one of these afflicted, if we feel like our guilt and our shame is great this morning, we pray that you meet us with grace and mercy. Father, maybe we're walking a little too religious this morning. We feel like we have everything all together. Would you bring us to a place of humbleness this morning? Bring us into an idea that it's not religion. It's not about our standing. It's about relationship. It's about who we know and not what we know. Father, help us. We believe that when we open this word and not my words, but Holy Spirit, you speak in this place. We believe that has the power, as Jesse just said, that Jesus, you change everything. Father, there are dead people here this morning that need to be brought to life. There are lost people this morning that need to be found. There are religious people that need to find relationship today. And so in all of these ways, we ask that you speak this morning. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week in Psalm 24, I want to ask you again a question that was found in the Word. I believe it ties perfectly into Psalm 25. Last week we saw the question, who shall stand on his holy hill? Who shall stand in his holy place? And we said the only answer in Psalm 24, it said those with clean hands and those with pure hearts. I want to tell you this morning, if that hits you at a place of saying, my hands are really dirty, not in a physical sense, but because of all the sins I've committed, my heart is very impure, I want you to know there is an answer for those hands to be clean and a heart to be pure, and His name is Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that if you come to the church at Southside that meets on the north side that doesn't have a building, you're already in awkward company. But if you come to this place every week, you're going to hear this same message. No matter if we're in the Psalms, if we're in Genesis, if we're in Revelation, somewhere in this book, we're going to be talking about the goodness and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, because that's all we have. That's everything we need. In fact, if you want to have clean hands and a pure heart, by the way, listen to me. This morning, who was my servers this morning? Who served? Who dipped a little chicken pot pie? Rebecca, go and raise that hand. I see that. All right. I want to tell you this, and these are wonderful people. They were smiling. They were dipping chicken pot pie. You can dip chicken pot pie till Jesus comes and give it to anybody you want, but that won't make your hands clean. That won't make your heart pure. A little old lady helping across the street, you want to help her as many times as you can. Doesn't mean that you'll have clean hands and a pure heart. In fact, if you want to know the truth, probably some of the good things we do to make ourselves feel better about ourselves, and it really doesn't count for the grand scheme of things anyway. That's not what it's about. There's nothing we can do to clean ourselves up. There are no amount of good deeds. Last week, we baptized our brother in a pool of water. Newsflash, it was just water. Didn't save him. In fact, it wasn't necessary for his salvation. He was already in a relationship with Christ. That was a profession of the old me is dead, the new me is alive in Christ. All right? Doesn't matter how many times you get dunked. It doesn't matter how many times you come to church. We don't pass an offering plate. Anybody ever notice that? We never do that. Some people give, and we praise God for that. We have others that give and support and do things, but we never pass around an offering plate. It's not that we believe against that. We believe that you should give your tithes and offerings to God, but we want you to do that as you feel led. But listen to me. If you drop thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in there, it means nothing to give you clean hands and a pure heart. It's all about Jesus and what He's done. I want to tell you that this morning, not to beat you over the head with the name Jesus, but to bring freedom and to offer some rest in the fact of you don't have to work so hard for it. It's already been done. It's already paid for. And by the way, it wasn't just paid partially. It was paid in full for you and for me. Is that not a glorious thing? That is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it's paid for. But man, we just make it so much harder than it is. And we say, well, if Psalm 24 says only the people with clean hands and pure hearts, I got to clean up. I got to do something. Stop trying. Just give your heart and life to Him. Come to a place where you understand that Jesus is the only one that can clean our hands and purify our hearts. Continues in Psalm 24, it says, with these clean hand and pure hearts who do not lift up their soul to what is false. Just like what was just saying over us by Jesse this morning, let us not lift our souls to another. I just want to tell you this morning that there are tons of things that you can lift your soul to. There are tons of things that you can offer your soul to this morning. Jesse's mentioned some of those. Maybe it was something you shot in your arm last night. Maybe it was too many drinks that you had last night. Maybe it was a relationship outside of marriage that you've sought sex in. Maybe it's a lifestyle choice. Maybe it's all kind of things. Maybe it's religion. Maybe it's the very fact of what I just said, that you're going to try to do enough good that you hope one day the scales outweigh itself. Let me tell you, you can offer your soul to a lot of things. But if it's not being offered to Jesus Christ, as that song said, let us not lift our soul to another. I find it unique, though, that in Psalm 24, out of all these things where David asks the question, who can inherit the land of Jesus Christ? Who can inherit this holy hill? Who can stand on this holy mountain? He says, those with clean hands and pure hearts, those who do not lift their soul to another. And then listen how he starts Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift my soul. In other words, he's just finished. May we not lift our soul to anything false. May we not lift our soul to another. And then he goes right into an idea of, may I lift my soul only to you. Can I ask a personal question this morning? Normally when I ask you a question, I already know the answer of where I'm going. I'm going to ask you anyway, but I'd love to have your permission. Can I ask you a personal question this morning? Who are you lifting your soul to? You see, your soul is something sacred inside of you. Each of us have one. Whether you believe it or not, there is an eternal being inside of you that will spend eternity either in heaven with our Father when all things are made new through a relationship in Christ, or there's a relationship where we'll spend in hell apart from Him for eternity. That is hell. There is something internal inside of you. There is this soul that lives inside of you. Who are you offering that to? What are you offering that to? May we be a people. May we be a generation that seeks, just like Psalm 24 said, the face, the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, the one we read about in the Old Testament, the one who promised the Messiah, the one who the Messiah, Jesus Christ, came through, the one who came and lived a perfect life and died your death on a cross so that you may live forever. Anybody ever seen the movie Sandlot? I got to do it. I ain't done it in a long time. Have you ever seen that movie? There's a classic line in there. Forever. He says it like a couple of times. Forever. Listen to me this morning. This is light and momentary afflictions that we are living in, and it does not compare, the word says, to the weight of the eternal glory that will last forever. Forever your soul will last. Who or what are you offering this soul to? Because listen to me this morning. You may say in this circle this morning, those that are listening beyond my words and hopefully listening to the Holy Spirit, you may say, I'm not lifting my soul to anyone. That's not true. We're all lifting our soul to something or someone. We all offer ourselves over to something or someone. I'm begging you through the power of the Holy Spirit this morning to ask you to consider lifting your soul to none other but Jesus Christ. If you do, everything will be made right. Now, here's what I didn't say. Offer your heart and life to Jesus Christ and all your problems will be fixed, because my Bible does not teach that. I wish I could speak that over you. I wish I could grant that if you just came to Him, then all your problems will go away. In fact, I have bad news, what it may seem like in earthly standards. This word says that if you truly live for Him, it probably will make your life here in this place even more difficult. I'm not selling you a bill of goods here. I'm selling the truth. I'm offering truth, and it is free to give your heart and life to Christ. And then whatever momentary afflictions happen in the weight, it will not compare to the weight of His eternal glory. In other words, forever. And He will set things right. He is preparing a day where all things will be made new, and we can celebrate in that because of Jesus Christ. Psalm 25, to You, O Lord, I lift my soul. What a beautiful place to start. A beautiful place to start that nothing else will have my entire devotion. There's a reason David was called a man after God's own heart. He sinned. He was not perfect. In fact, David sinned kind of big. But when David sinned, he also repented big. He came to a place of understanding that in his entirety, his devotion, he wanted to lift nothing else of his soul up to anyone else but the name of God. Some people have heard a dream that I had one time. I won't get into all the details. It was a different context of it all, but the picture is still the same that I have this morning. Here's what it means to lift your soul not to another. Lift your soul into nothing that is false. Lift your soul only to Jesus. I want you to picture Jesus. Some of us have a weird picture of Jesus, but I want you to picture Jesus. By the way, He wasn't white. He wasn't black. He was Jewish, okay? A Middle Eastern man. Lived his life, and the Bible says he was nothing really that great to look at. In fact, when he lived his life and he lived a perfect life and he died on the cross, the word says that you couldn't even resemble him as a man. He was a piece of flesh hanging in your place and my place. Gave his life willingly through love for the grace and mercy of the gospel of himself. And so as he does this, as he brings this life, and as he lives this life, if we were to picture that representation, that Middle Eastern man, the man that is, if God was going to be flesh, if God is flesh, this representation of who God is, the one who hugged those who had leprosy, the one who knelt down with the prostitute, the one who fed those who were hungry, the one who said in the religious culture where children didn't mean anything, let the little children come to me, the ones who were untouchable, who had leprosy and had to yell, unclean, unclean, unclean. And Jesus would say, no, come to me. Let me touch you. Let me heal you. The ones that Jesus would go to in the religious crowd, the ones that should have known the truth, would come to him and say, man, if he knew who was touching him, he wouldn't have nothing to do with him. And Jesus says, man, I'm all about this. This is my life. This is who I came to be with. This is who I came to live and to die for. See, they're searching for truth. They need the love and grace that you're not offering. If we could picture this Jesus, whatever that representation is, and if we could picture him holding a huge funnel, right? And that everything in our life, this is what it means to lift our soul not to another. This is what it means to lift our soul to Jesus and Jesus alone, that through that we have relationship with the Father, is that means that everything we do, whether that means our job, whether that means our family, whether that means a time where you're going to sit with your friends and celebrate and have a party, whether that means your relationships on the street, in your apartment, in your home, wherever it may be, that everything we have, every bit of money that you make and every bit of money you give out, that everything is poured through that funnel. Everything goes to Jesus Christ. That everything is through him and in him. And he is the reason we live. He is the reason our heart beats. He is the reason that we sing. He is the reason we dip chicken pot pie. He is the reason we worship. He is the reason we read our Bible. He is the reason we pray. That it's not about religion. It's about relationship. And nothing we do doesn't go through that funnel. We go on vacation, when we hang with friends, when we hang with family, it all goes through Jesus. And by the way, I just want to be completely honest. You might not hear a pastor ever tell you this. That doesn't mean that you've always got to be walking around saying Jesus' name. It doesn't mean that you always have to be walking around and praying. It's in the simple, childlike conversations we have with one another that Jesus is the filter. Somehow he's present in everything we do. That's what it means to lift our soul to Jesus. And what a beautiful place he starts in that is saying, oh Lord, I lift up my soul to you. Oh my God, in you I trust. That is the filter that everything comes down to. That is a man or woman who says, to you and you alone I lift my soul. Not another thing, not another person. I want to ask you a question this morning. If you hear all that, and I'm going to close with this. If you hear all that and say, man, I don't know where to start. Life is such a mess right now. That's all good for you, Keith, but I got no idea. In fact, I'm a little drunk this morning. I'm a little high. I had a night that I shouldn't have had last night with somebody. I am in a mess. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. Can I just tell you, you found the right place, because we're going to tell you about the right person. Now, I'm going to give you a list of this is what you need to do and clean up and this and that and pray this prayer and turn around, do a dance 7 times, and that's it. I wish I could offer you a prescription like that, because that would be a little bit more controllable. But what you have to do is give your heart and life over to the wild man known as Jesus Christ. Let him do the rest. In fact, David tells us that if we don't know where to start, listen to this. David, a man after God's own heart, after he says the word, I lift up my soul, oh my God, to you I trust. He says this in verses 4 and 5. I'll close with this. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. In other words, David is saying, you're going to have to help me, God, know your ways. You are going to have to lead me. And by the way, David was offering himself up to this. God, you lead, I'll follow. Some of us are okay with the idea of God leading, but he's leading on a couple of miles over there and we're way behind. We want to follow, walk in step with him. Doesn't mean perfection. He's the perfect one, but we will follow him. Teach me your paths. In other words, a process. It's not going to happen overnight. Everybody listen to me this morning. Everybody look this way. It's not going to happen overnight. It is a process to teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Here's why. Because you are the God of my salvation. And some of you may say, Keith, I've been waiting on that a long time. I don't understand. I don't have all the answers. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. Can I tell you, you're in good company? Because David himself says this. For you, I will wait all the day long. Some of you need to stop and worship in the waiting. That's a word we don't like to hear very much, because we're in a society that we can walk in a place and put in an order and bam, our food's there. We can immediately pull our phone and say, I'd like to know the headlines of the news today. We can walk into a home and we can place a dish in a microwave and in 2 minutes, it's ready. Do y'all know that they make bacon now that you can put in the microwave and in 2.5 minutes, it's not that flimsy bacon. It's crispy, good bacon in 2.5 minutes. If you can get bacon in 2.5 minutes, that is crispy and good and greasy and all of that stuff to put on a sandwich with a fresh Alabama tomato, that's heaven on earth. We can do that very quick like. And so the idea of waiting, if I'm just honest, really stinks to us. We don't want to wait on anything. But David is telling us this is a process. If a man after God's own heart says this is a process, what makes it think it's going to be any different for a sinner like me? It is a process that he says, teach me your ways, lead me. Lead me in your truth, lead me in your ways. And David closes with this: if it takes all day, I'll wait. Some of you may be waiting longer than a day. Some of you may be going back to a childhood moment and say, God, you never showed up for me. God, where were you when this happened? God, why did you let that happen? I can't give you all the answers to that. All I can tell you is that he is there and he's been leading and he's been waiting on you. You may be waiting on him, but I promise you, if you'll stop and pause and worship in the waiting and say, I give you everything. Don't just trust me in that. I've never, to my knowledge, lied to anybody out here. If I have, God forgive me for that. But I want to tell you, I'm telling you the truth based on the gospel of Jesus Christ, that if you'll wait on him and patiently say to him, Father, here I am. I got nothing else. He is wonderful of showing up in the moments when we've got no other answers. In fact, he may be waiting on you to get to that place just to simply say, man, I need you. Help me. I don't know what else to do. Show me that you're real. I'm just going to go on and tell you that if you show him, if you say, show me that you're real, he's going to show you today. You trust him in that? I'm praying that you will. Jim, trust him. Amen. Will you trust him in that today? Amen. We're going to do something this morning, and I know she's not going to like it. We didn't ask permission. We just decided that it's better to ask forgiveness than permission and a grace. We're going to pray for you this morning, if that's all right. So I'm going to ask her in just a second to come over here. Anna Grace is leaving, going to Columbia on a mission trip. And so we're going to pray for the people that she goes and ministers to. But we're also going to pray for God to minister to her as well. That normally happens when you go somewhere like that. So we're going to pray over her as well. So Anna Grace, would you come up? If you feel comfortable, want to come kind of gather around, we're going to close in prayer with that. So you guys come on up, anybody that feels led to. Her folks are making their way over here too. We'll wait and let them get over. And just where you're at in your seat, believe in the power of prayer, you join us in prayer as well, okay? Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that are in it. We pray for Anna Grace that you would just go before her, behind her, beside her in all directions, that you would hem her in, and Father, that you would not only minister through her, but you would minister to her, that you would lead her, that you would guide her. As David said today, that you would teach her your ways on this trip, that it would be a great time of just ministering to others and a great time of being ministered to. Your word tells us that beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We pray for her and her team that you give them beautiful feet as they walk, as they get to share in community and relationships, that they get to share the message of your gospel to each and every person they come in contact with. We will miss her. God, in this time, look forward to a sweet time of her coming back and getting to hear all about what you've done. Bless her. Bless this trip. Safe travels. Safe trip, God, just filled with opportunities for others to come to know you. be with us, God, the rest of us today, that we just pray and ask these things that we've talked about today, that you would just help us to worship in the waiting. Some of us feel like we've been waiting for years. Help us to wait a little longer to hear from you, God. I believe that if we come to the end of ourselves and just say, God, I need you, Father, I need you, Father, show me that you're real, that you'll do that today. So we trust in the power of the Holy Spirit in that today. God, would you speak to hearts today? Just even when we say amen here a second, God, would you continue to speak? We pray and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.